2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Trax Power Sports Rentals. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Just lending a helping hand behind the scenes here. Push that button right there. We'll get this thing off to the right start this morning. Good morning, all. Welcome, and welcome to a brand new day. What a day, too, as we pulled into the parking lot across the street. I pointed to the east to make sure you didn't miss it, but...
I think you're hallucinating.
There was a sunrise as the clouds started to lighten up on the east side of the valley that looked a little like Old Glory.
I thought it was like an elephant or something.
All right, let me check what's in that bottle. No, this morning as we head toward the 4th of July, just a beautiful sunrise along the Wasatch Front, and hope you had a chance to see it within the last 15, 20 minutes or so. Nice to have you waking up with us. I'm Tim Hughes, and as always, Russ Smith, Sky
Not
Cole.
Always, but most of the
most
time.
Of the time.
Yeah, good morning. Good
Russ
morning,
gets out morning. Of bed to be here.
Yeah.
And just checked a bucket list item off of his list a couple
wasn't,
of days
I
ago.
I wasn't doing nothing Monday, you know.
Yeah.
And I said...
I think I'm going to...
Let's go for a little motorcycle ride.
I'm going to abuse myself and try and ride 1,000 miles in a day. Before we jump into about all of that, I want to bring Matt Jalalian into the conversation, our producer.
Matt!
On the other side of the glass. Good morning!
How's it going, guys?
Good. How'd it go last week?
Yeah. It went. Yeah. You know, you're looking mighty burly this morning, I want to say.
Yeah?
You got the
beard. No, he got something. You got something trimmed.
Yeah, I got a lot of things.
That was about 3 weeks ago you got the hair trimmed. Didn't you?
Yeah, it's just, so I was sick a couple of weeks ago, and basically it's when you're expelling stuff, and you're like, oh my gosh, my hair.
You want to get as many catch items out of the way as you can, right?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You wear a hairnet when you're doing
so
that.
I just like mowed it all off.
Oh, that's
I
sick.
I just decided that was good enough. Thank you.
That is gross.
It is nice that I don't have to like get up or do anything. I just roll out of bed and... kind of walk out the door.
Don't go there.
No, anyway, you've gone from
transformed.
Yes, transformed.
There okay,
you man, you are.
This is why you get the big radio bucks,
man.
From caveman to mountain man.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so it's what it is.
Yeah, we got a lot to do over the next several hours, but. Before we actually jump into what's coming up on the show, I do want to touch on this adventure of yours a couple of days ago, because you're really still recovering from it, aren't you?
Yeah, I didn't expect this long of a recovery, but yeah.
You've heard us talk about the Iron Butt Ride, and it was a couple of weeks ago that we brought it up on the air because you were considering it.
Yeah, and everybody, including family members, called me and said, please don't do that.
Yeah.
I said, hey, it's my life.
It's my life. So an Iron Butt Ride is 1,000 miles in 24 hours, has to be documented properly or you don't get the patch and the paper.
Let me tell you, you spend more time documenting than you do anything else
and
riding. You know, but
there aren't really any rules other than the fact that you must get 1,000 miles in 24 hours.
There are rules. You need to not exceed the speed limit for very long because they're tracking your stops and the time between your stops. See, there's guys out there that don't do anything but ride.
Yeah.
They've got auxiliary gas tanks, so they've got like 12 gallons of gas on their bike.
Yeah.
Somehow, their system will permit them to ride that long. I don't know how else to put it, but I met these guys, and I've tried to chat them up at a gas station. They don't want to talk to you. As fast as they can get, fill up both those tanks and roll down the highway.
To be honest, if I was riding a bike for 1,000 miles in 24 hours, I wouldn't want to talk to anybody either.
You know what, though? You get a little lonesome out there.
Yeah. Sure.
You know?
No, but you're saying they hydrate, but nothing's coming out.
Well, you can regulate your hydration so that nothing comes out. It's not a healthy thing, but, you know, maybe they're wearing a little bag or something. I don't know. Okay, I don't ask those
Let's
questions.
Let's not go there.
But honestly, I regulated, and you know how often I have to stop usually. Yeah. But
So where did the ride take you?
Okay, here's my route. Maverick up by my house.
I don't care where you started.
You got to know where I started. Come
okay.
On. Okay, 15 to Nephi, cut across to Delta, Utah, for those of you from somewhere else.
Okay.
And then across 50, the loneliest highway in America. It's not really that lonely, though. There's a town or something every 150 miles.
So where on 50?
Okay, 50 through Ely, Nevada. Austin, Nevada.
So you picked like the most desolate road you could
take. There's a whole method for this.
Okay.
And then I came out in Fallon, Nevada, about 20 miles from the 80 freeway. You can cut across the 80. I had a Motel 6 waiting for me in Fallon to stretch out for about 2 hours, 3 hours, and get a shower and clean underwear, and I was back on the road again.
And then just rerouted back that same way?
You know, the horrible thing about stopping midway is you lay in bed and say, I got to get going. Okay, back count all those miles, and when do I have to leave by to make it on time? But what if I get tired? I won't make it in time, you know. So, and then out to the 80 freeway, and that puts me just to the west of Lovelock, Nevada, on the 80 freeway.
Yeah.
And then you got this freeway that you can move along on pretty good.
Yeah.
And
it's got good lighting. And
yeah, that's the thing. The idea was to take the worst of the roads to because I started midday.
When you
started
were rested.
At 11:30. And so I knew that at some point I was going to be in the dark. I wanted that point to be on the freeway, but it happened to be an hour before I got to Fallon. It got dark. And so an hour's worth of roads I didn't want to ride on in the dark, I was in the dark. But did all right. I did some practice rides in the middle of the night.
So you document by GPS?
GPS. Your odometer on the GPS gets set to zero, and the odometer on your bike gets set to zero, and the stamped gas tickets are included.
This is interesting. So on the movie show every week, you know, Doug Wright through the years has made a shtick out of winning prizes valued at up to dollars.
And here's what I get.
Here's what you get for a 1,000-mile butt ride.
That I have to pay for.
All right.
That's the other thing.
Yeah, you got to pay for your prize. You have to pay to get the patch.
Yes.
But what do you get besides the patch?
Well, I'm ordering the package. The patch. of course, you get the certificates. Okay, the certificates, let's say they're free. Okay.
Yeah.
They're really not. You have to pay a guy to check all your stuff.
But the patch costs you $500.
It's like $40 to pay the guy to check your route, to verify all your information. This has to be verified.
So you not only have to go through all these hoops and go through the pain of it all, then you pay them so that they can give you the patch. You could have just had the patch made. I'm sorry to inform you of that.
That wouldn't be fair.
Yeah.
anyway. I haven't done my documentation folder yet. I got to get that done, send it in. It doesn't matter because they're in the middle right now of the Iron Butt Rally.
There's
a rally. This is the rally
where they travel in a group.
No, you have points all over North America to go get your picture taken in. And they count your miles, they count your bonus points, all this stuff. You're riding $1,000 plus.
I just want to have that kind of time on my hands,
right? Well,
that these people do to go do this stuff.
I'm interested in knowing what the patch looks like, though, because we keep calling it the Iron Butt.
It's about that big.
Does it have like a silver butt on it?
I think it's like a picture of a motorcycle going off in the distance. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a deal. You know, I know. For some people, it's totally ridiculous.
Well, it's one of those things. We always, you know, when we got guys calling in from Everest, we say, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Because you can, because it's there. Why did you climb the mountain? Because it's there. Why does a guy who loves to ride motorcycles do an iron butt ride? Because you can.
It's a challenge. It's a real big challenge. Yeah. And let me tell you, I didn't know this until I finished. It's definitely a physical event. You'd think it's just a fat guy on a motorcycle. No. My knees are shot. My back is sore. My shoulders, I got my right shoulder is in a lot of pain. So, yeah, you put yourself out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Anyway, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
I guess.
You're going to go with me next year, aren't
you? No.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Next June. This is Iron Butt season. I decided.
I was going to say, you don't want to pay like $50 for your patch?
No, I don't. No?
I wondered about this. There were other riders out there. Of course, they don't wave and say, are you? No, they don't care about anybody else. But this is the longest days of the year. And
right.
This is when everybody does it. Yeah.
I get it. All right, we didn't even get a chance to talk about what's coming up on the show today, but we do have to take a break, so let's do that. We'll throw in a little news of the week. We'll also give you a rundown of what's coming up on the show in the next hour and a half or so, and tell you about our adventure yesterday. We headed up to Snowbird because the Adventure Gear Fest is going on. So that and more right around the corner. Let's break, and we'll be back in a moment. All right, welcome back in. Before we get to our first call of the day, let me just tell you what's coming up on the program this morning, and hopefully everybody got the email. Let me see here. There it is. Because I have to look, too. It was late last night when I sent this along. Donnell is going to call in. Don,
right. 6:35.
From the Hunting Chicks? What do they call their...
Don't call them Hunting Chicks.
Okay, what is it?
Chicks at
Divas.
Hunting Divas.
You know, Divas chicks, hate it when you call them chicks.
Chicks, they do. Chicks has gotten to be a dirty word anymore,
sure.
Hasn't it?
I can't believe
that, you know?
Hunting Divas.
Such a nice word at one time.
She was with us during the International Sportsman's Expo because she was in town to do some seminars and things. But
she wasn't in studio, though.
No, she called in.
Called, yeah.
But she's in Colorado.
Right.
And they just had an adventure that included a couple of Utah women with her, wasn't there?
Yeah. You're not going to spill the beans, are
you? No, but tell us what it is she's calling in about.
She's just calling to talk about her last hunting adventure.
And I guess that's all I'm going to get.
And her use of the sat phone.
Okay. Anyway. So that will happen in the next half hour.
You want me to just tell you the whole thing
stop
right
it.
Now?
Kim Hersey from the Division of Wildlife Resources will join us. We're going to talk about three of the lesser-known mammals that call Utah home.
I'm interested in that.
Yeah. Here's what happened yesterday, too.
Is Bigfoot included?
No.
He's widely known, actually.
He really is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yesterday, we ran up to Snowbird and spent some hours out on the plaza enjoying all the activities surrounding the Adventure Gear Fest, and I found out something about you. You had never been on the tram to go to 10,000 feet
at
in Hidden Peak.
At Snowbird, that's right.
So we took Russ up the tram yesterday.
Fine. Have you done that?
I have not.
That is awesome.
You need to do that too.
I would love to. Honestly, I would love to get out more.
Well, here's
the chance. I just need to make more money.
This is. Well, yeah. Don't we all?
Yeah.
That we're going to talk about this up the Gear Fest.
Right.
It's free. Did you hear me right?
Really?
Today and tomorrow.
You have my attention.
Now I don't think the tram
ride's not free. No.
But the Gear Fest is quite interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
Plus, you're at how many? You're up pretty high. You're at nice weather.
So in the next hour, we're going to take you to Snowbird vicariously through conversations we had yesterday. We'll talk to the co-founder of Adventure Gear Fest. We'll talk to Brian Brown from Snowbird about the unique opportunity they have now to really be living through two seasons. They're still skiing.
Yeah. Wow.
One of the news stories this week is they announced that they're going to be skiing on the 4th of July, and there's enough snow to do the top third, I would say, of the mountain, and then you have to ride the tram down.
It's like skiing on a good day at Sugar House Park.
Yeah.
There's
more snow than Sugar House Park.
The novelty of it is the fact you're still skiing.
So they're going to be skiing on the 4th of July. That's going to be the day they call it quits. So we'll get all the information on that. And then they have a fundraising event around this event for the Cottonwood Canyons Foundation.
Right.
And we wanted to learn more about all the work that they do. So we look forward to... Yeah.
I'm not trying to say the terrain was like Sugar House Park. I'm just saying the snow conditions.
I got what you're saying. Thanks for clarifying, though, because quite often you need to
be
clarify.
In trouble there.
What was the other? Oh, Roger Eggett's going to check in with us. So we'll take you to Snowbird next hour and look forward to doing that. Let's get to our first call of the day, gentlemen. Please help me in saying good morning to James!
Well, good morning, guys. I'm very much glad to be home.
Yeah. Good.
there's nothing that beats that. I'm still not quite out of the woods. They've assigned me home health care, but I don't want to go too deeply into that. I'd like to stay upbeat. Thankfully, being home, I can get near my computer and hear my relatives and check up on Utah news. And my topic is one I've talked about before, the Wildlife Bridge, and how people, curious people, were crossing it. And I read the report, and it said some of the animals getting skittish to use it, and fines might be imposed. And it's kind of a shame, Tim and Russ, anyhow. You have to impose a fine for people to use common sense, but I think if it takes a fine to get people off that bridge, so be it. The
animals. Isn't that what most fines are for?
Yeah. From doing stupid things.
I just think the animals need it.
I did see that. I also saw some video. I don't know if you clicked onto the video that was along with that, but they had like trail cams that were
pretty cool
up there. Yeah. But just to see the number and the variety of animals that are using that bridge is awesome.
Yeah.
When you consider that most of them probably wouldn't have survived that trek.
Sure.
Across.
They had all kinds.
Yeah. Small ones, big ones, medium-sized ones. But the fact that humans now think that's a cool way to cross from one side to the other, I don't know where you'd be going up there, first of all, and why you'd use this bridge. But obviously, if these animals are hunkered down in the trees or the bushes on either side and watch the humans go across there, they're going to be less likely to use it.
And where are the mountain lions when you need them? You know? Really?
Like we need an incident caught on trail cams?
Let's post a couple of mountain lions up there.
Sorry about that. Yeah. I was even going to it. You know, it was talking about the marmots and everything else.
Yeah.
And I was just amazed the animals are using it if people give it a chance and everything.
Yeah. So it's awesome. But we're glad to hear you're home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm home. I just hope I can keep staying home. I just one day to the next. Yesterday was not so good. Today's better hearing your voice. I'm glad to be here.
Well, thank you.
Thanks again, guys.
All right. James, good to hear from you there in Texas.
We'll be thinking about you, James.
Yeah.
Thanks.
One of the sad notes of news this week was the word out of Kanab that an Arizona man had died. He crashed his UTV in Coral Pink Sand Dunes.
Right.
I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
46 years old. I think it was a one-vehicle incident. It wasn't like he came up over the top of a dune and bumped into somebody. There was one passenger who was transported for a medical evaluation. Officials did not provide the identity of that person or elaborate on the nature of the injuries. The UTV that he was driving was the only vehicle involved, and authorities do not believe alcohol was a factor in the crash. It just is a reminder to me. Oh, he wasn't wearing a helmet?
That's what I read earlier, yeah.
Oh, it says, not wearing a helmet at the time of the crash.
Oh, geez.
So it's just a reminder that these places are fun to play, and we encourage people to get out and do it. Make sure you know the environment you're going to go play in, and make sure you got the right safety gear.
Yeah. You know, you anti-helmet people out there, turn your radio down for a minute because you're never going to wear a helmet anyway. But for the rest of us, put it on. I mean, these are stories that haunt me even when I just am going to run down to the corner and fill the bike up with gas.
Yeah.
Am I going to wear a helmet? You know, I'm only going to be going 10 miles an hour. Yeah, but I do stupid stuff. So
And they tell you that, by the way, the video we were talking with James about is posted on our Facebook page if you want to look at it. But they'll tell you statistically that most accidents happen within, I don't know what it is, 5 or 10 miles of your house.
Sure.
Which makes sense only in the fact that that's the road you travel most of the time.
Right.
If you're on that road most of the time.
But other reasons, too.
You have to take that road to get out of, to get to and from home.
Sure.
But
I think you're less cautious when you're close to home.
Probably.
You know.
And the same
you trust your neighbors.
Incidents that can happen 100 miles from home can happen a mile from home.
Oh, yeah.
So wear the helmets if you can. The other thing I just wanted to throw out here as we get ready to take a break for the half hour, Dan Bomas is coming up with a news update, is all the news of the snow. Colorado really got dumped on. They had 2 feet.
Yeah.
I think,
geez.
Like 5 days ago, 6 days ago, whatever it was.
Happy summer, Colorado.
Beartooth Pass, which is one of our favorites to ride.
Had to close it again.
They had three straight days of snow on Beartooth up there. Here we are, end of June, beginning of July. And I think I heard last week, meteorologically, that we were the third or fourth latest in our recorded weather history to get a 90-degree day in Utah. So if that makes any sense. Usually we get a 90-degree day mid-June, and here we are end of June. So it was the third or fourth latest that we've received a 90-degree day.
That's wonderful.
Thank you. Anyway, snow falling in some places, so it's unpredictable right now. Be careful if you're going to higher elevations. And some of those camp spots that you like to go up high may still have a little white stuff in
it. Bring your tire chains with you.
That's the other thing. All right, a news update is coming up next. And then on the other side, we'll talk to the hunting divas. Find out what kind of fun they've been having. I think the snow actually affected them on their last hunting adventure. So that's next.